And you're back with Annie on Solidarity Breakfast. And in the studio, we've got Connor Flynn. How are you, Connor?
Good, Annie. Great to be with you.
Yeah, yeah. Now, you've got some news about what's going on at Preston Market. I mean, there's always so much going on. And as I was saying, it's a very dark feeling we've got at the moment. But something good has happened at the Preston Market.
Well, that's right. 3CR, this radio station, has been a keen observer of that community campaign to protect and defend that vital open space, and a few weeks ago we received some news that the leases at the market will be extended for a further 5 years, which is on top of the government's compromise solution to protect the site while accommodating for development. So,
okay, and tell us about the compromise government plan.
So the last time I was here, it was just before a major rally was held at Preston Station, hands around the Preston Market, where about 2,000 people gathered in support of Preston Market. And a few days earlier, the state government announced that they were going to introduce a series
of... That's a whole lot of mealy-mouth words.
Yeah, you know, I studied or tried to study urban planning for a while, but even the terminology went over my head. But in short, essentially said that the site, or a large part of the site, can remain, but... you'd have to build around it rather than knock down 80% of the market, move it to the eastern side of the location.
Which was what the developer wanted to do.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and so giving stallholders 5 years leases, that's a really good sign.
It is, but it doesn't take into consideration that a number of... stallholders have had to sell up their businesses and move away because of the uncertainty that Sultan Medic had over them and their lives and their livelihoods for a long period of time.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. So where does it leave the community now?
Well, I think in my perspective of chatting with people I know in Preston and Reservoir and indeed throughout Melbourne, people have breathed a sigh of relief that this community asset is going to remain where it is, because it was a dark cloud was hanging over Preston. You've got to remember that for a very long period of time, you know, it's been in the forefront of development in the eyes of the state government and Salter as well. They've always known that Preston is an asset in part of planning policies in this city, and Salter wanted to completely knock it down and transform the northern suburbs. So having that certainty is great.
Have you heard any reaction from the developer themselves?
You know, Sultan Medic, they put up a number of press releases through their channels on LinkedIn, but also the close ties with Channel 7. But after the announcement was made in August, they remained very quiet. And the announcement itself was made through a trading group with close ties to Salter called We Are Preston Market. So that announcement came from them on their social media rather than Salter itself.
Oh, that's interesting. So this is actually a definite move by the state government to listen to... It's been a concerted effort, of course. They've finally actually accepted that the community is a stakeholder here.
Absolutely, but we must remember that if it wasn't for pressure from below, from a well-organised community campaign, the Preston Market would be rubble right now.
Yeah.
You know, during the pandemic, the state government, you know, was ramming through a series of planning proposals. They had secretive hearings, which, you know, what, consultative committees, you know, they're like show trials, you know, rubber stamping, you know, official government policy. But coupled with, you know, that was all set to go ahead, but, you know, the community got organised, they organised a series of rallies, they engaged in a wide variety of different avenues of struggle, whether that was, you know, the electoral space. I mean, it's really important that the Labor Party, which have held the seat of Preston since its creation in the 1940s, they almost lost on the back of this issue. Their own internal polling said, no, we'll only lose 3 or 4% of the vote on this issue, but they almost lost.
Yeah, they lost 15%.
They did. And, you know, the local Labor MP, you know, one of our first actions in the year was targeting the Labor Party because they're a weak link. They said to be on the side of the community, but all of their actions inside and outside of Parliament demonstrated that.
It's interesting to me too. I went down to that rally outside that office, and something that really is obvious is that One, I was on the train station, which was Russian brutalist. And I'm thinking to myself, and also the person's office is on an incredibly busy road, which is all these things are very human, not human scale and not friendly. And it appears to me that a whole lot of stuff is going on that is making this city almost unlivable for human beings. And this was at the nub of this, wasn't it?
It was. I think that what type of city we want to live in was at the heart of this issue. Was it a city in the interest of profits or a city in the interest of people? And that was the message that I was reinforcing in conversations I had with people, but also at forums of where community members were allowed to speak. In May, the campaign organised a mass rally at Preston Town Hall. About 400 to 500 people turned up, and that was the overarching theme of those conversations in that meeting, up to including that if push came to shove and if the government decided to go knock down the market, that the community were prepared to engage in a series of community pickets to defend that site. As we've seen, with efforts like the East-West Tunnel, Fitzroy Pool, Richmond Secondary College, there's a whole number of examples in recent memory of the community acting in its own interest to defend public space.
And, people live in these in suburbs. It's like their town. But others who are making the decisions are in their chauffeur-driven cars and never stop.
Oh, that's right. When Sam Tarasio first purchased the site in 2004, Preston wasn't the place to be. It was, 10 kilometres away from the city, but it wasn't seen as like what Northcote or Formbury is now. But Tarasio, he's one of the richest people on the planet for a reason. He's a very smart capitalist. He recognised that given the anarchy of planning controls in the city, and that the government were always looking to sites like Preston, but also Box Hill and the Outer West of profit-making. That's why he held on and neglected that site for as long as possible to say, we can't possibly repair and restore. I'm going to knock it down, transform it into apartments up to 20 stories high, and then cash out at maximum return.
Yeah, and just have this Roneo'd mass of flats that run, I know they like to call them apartments, but they're dog boxes, basically.
One of the most galling things that was labelled against our campaign is that we were opposed to affordable housing, which was completely incorrect.
That's really, really irritating, isn't it?
Especially when it comes from people who profiteer over the housing affordability crisis. We thought they were having us on. In plans that members of the community in our campaign put forward, we could still keep the market and then build a series of developments around it, but with an emphasis on public and affordable housing.
Yeah, well, it's just because they go to public relations firms who come up with a good idea and a hook. That's what it is. Everything's based on gossip and everything is inflamed and emotional rather than actually dealing with the facts. It's a terrible thing. It's like a punch on the community's face.
It's very much like the coverage in Palestine at the moment.
You bet. Okay, so this is a watching brief because, of course, we've learnt over time that 5 years is one thing, but never lose your grip on the or iron the ball.
No, that's absolutely right, Annie. But there's a few teething issues that remain, like the state government, now led by Premier Jacinta Allen, have said that there's going to be no room for consultation, so there's avenues in which the community can still apply pressure on the government. They say that we've already had those hearings in 2021, 2022. There's no need for anyone to engage in the process further, and they're currently thrashing out and what the site will be like in the planning offices in Nicholson Street as we speak.
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it? The government thinks they're more important than the people.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Thanks for coming in and talking to us and updating us.
No worries. And just lastly, Annie, I think that the recent times, especially in Israel and Palestine, have highlighted the importance of independent and free media. It's galling that since October 7, that more than 52 journalists have been killed in the conflict. As we know, more than 46 Palestinians, about 3 Lebanese journalists and 4 Israeli journalists as well. So journalists are always in the front line when it comes to reporting on those conflicts, and always the first casualties as well. So